Turn back to Philippians chapter 1. A life worth living and a death worth dying. Or the believer's attitude as he or she goes through this life. We have it right here. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. When Brandon read this portion of Scripture, you would not guess, if you didn't know it, that this was written from prison. Does this sound like somebody writing from prison? What a letter. Pouring out his heart to the people, his love and care and concern for God's people. Philippi was the first place in Europe where the gospel was preached, and Lydia was the first one there to hear the gospel, to my knowledge, and to be converted. Paul thanked God for them, and he wanted them to know that even though he was in prison, their salvation was not in danger. He writes, "He which hath begun a good work in you will finish that work." It's not up to the preacher to finish the work. That's Christ's work. Salvation is Christ's work from beginning to end. I'm given the responsibility and the privilege of preaching Christ to you. But Christ does the saving from beginning to end. And he which hath begun a good work in you will finish it. He'll finish it. And that his imprisonment, he wanted them to know that his imprisonment turned out to be for the furtherance of the gospel. Not a hindrance, but a furtherance of the gospel. So much so that God was saving some of the servants in Nero's house. Nero hated Christians. He hated Christ. He hated Christianity. And what does God do? He invades his palace and saves sinners right in under his nose. You know, the Lord told Peter when Peter confessed, "I art to Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Upon this rock shall I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," or the gates of hell will not keep the gospel out. It will not keep the gospel. If God is going to invade your heart, Satan has to step aside. When the stronger man comes into the house, the weaker one has to leave. He has to leave. And he wants them to know that even though he is in prison, it's not hindered the gospel, but it's in other words, it's spread the gospel. It's for the furtherance of the gospel. And that the brethren were much more bold to speak the truth because of his bonds. They were more. It emboldened them to preach it. Not, it didn't scare them or make them run and hide. It emboldened them to preach it. And he wanted them to know that if he lived, it'd be for the glory of Christ. And brethren, what I'm giving you, I want this. I want this for me. I want this for you. I want this for everybody I preach to. That if I live, I live for the glory of Christ and the furtherance of the gospel. Paul said, if I die, it's pure gain. It is absolutely pure gain. That is a different view of death, isn't it? That is a life worth living, and that's a death worth dying. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul's aim in living was for the glory of his Lord. Christ was the supreme end of his life. And this belongs to every believer, not just apostles, not just preachers. This belongs to every one of us who believe God. This attitude, this spirit, it belongs to every one of us. Paul's aim was not in gathering gold, not amassing wealth, or education, or a following. It was to glorify Jesus Christ. Is that not what we are here for this morning? Our number one goal to be here this morning is to glorify Jesus Christ, is to give unto Him the glory due unto His name. That's our purpose here this morning. First, that's our purpose. And then to edify you, the church. But Paul's aim was to glorify his Lord. This was the single purpose of his soul. He craved to honor his master. You can tell that by reading it. By the reading of the word, he craved to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. He devoted himself to this as an athlete would devote himself to winning a prize. He says in verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I'll be ashamed. Nothing. Paul was determined, he says over in Philippians 3, he was determined to know Christ so much so that he counted everything, but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. He goes on to say, oh, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. That is the power of his resurrected life. That I might know him in that way. That's what he wanted to know. Paul wanted to know his character. He wanted to know him more. He wanted to know his purpose. He wanted to know his person. Jesus Christ can be known. It's more than just believing some facts about a person. It's knowing a person. Salvation is not being saved from going to a place. It's being saved from sin that I might be made one with God. That I might know God. That's different. That's different. Brother, I'm not afraid of a place. The beginning of wisdom is to what? Fear God. Fear God. And this, it says in John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Can't know one without the other, but that's eternal life. It's to know God, to know Him. Paul knew that to know Jesus Christ was to know and to have eternal life. And eternal life, listen now, eternal life is a person. Look over in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. I'll wait till I quit hearing the pages rattle. Give you a chance to get there. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of what? The word of life. For the life was manifested. John said, we've seen life. We've looked upon life. We touched life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. We bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Life is a person. Life is a person. John said, we looked at life. We saw life. We talked to life. We touched life. And Paul says, I want to know that life. I want to know that life. Paul wanted to imitate Christ. He wanted to be like his master. He wanted to be meek and lowly like him, be merciful like him, gracious like him, truthful like Him, just as Him. He wanted to love as Christ loved, don't you? I would to God I could love my neighbors myself. I wish I could do that. I wish I could love God as Christ loved God. But I tell you this, let me give you a good news here. Christ loved God perfectly. Christ loved him, his neighbor as himself. Everything he did was right. And that is my righteousness. That's my righteousness. He wanted the Spirit of Christ that it would dwell in him, reign in his heart. That grace would reign in his heart. He didn't care for personal ambitions. He did at one time. He went after the flesh. He went after personal ambitions. You know what the believer's ambition is to be? Yeah, I'm going to give it to you. This is the believer's ambition. And I believe this takes time and maturity, growing in grace and in knowledge of Christ. Here's the believer's ambition. Oh, that I might know him. That I might be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God, which is the righteousness of Christ. That's our ambition. And everything else is secondary to it. Everything else. Christ was his only reason for living. He had become his only reason for living. The only reason I exist. Listen, the scripture says all things were made by him and for him. Now we know that the only reason anything exists right now is for Jesus Christ. But I want a heart that wants to live that way. I want a heart that just beats for Christ. Beats for Christ's sake. Paul wanted to make the gospel known to as many people as he could. At one time, he was Saul the Pharisee, and he didn't want anything to do with the Gentiles. He didn't want anything to do with people like you and me. We were the dogs. He didn't want the dogs in the house. But now he wanted to preach the gospel to all that he could freely preach to. And he was determined not to know anything among the people that he preached to. Not that he wasn't interested in them. But he didn't want to know anything among them except Jesus Christ and him crucified first. This issue of what think you of Christ had to be established first if we're going to have fellowship. Really, if we're going to have fellowship. How can two walk together except they agree? Can't do it. This issue must be settled first, or we cannot build a relationship, not a long-term relationship. Can't do it. And here's why. Because evil companions corrupt good manners. I have what the world has, but the world doesn't have what I have. And that's not going to rub off on them. But they're going to rub off on me because I have what they have. And Paul did not count his own life dear unto himself. He says over in the book of Acts, I don't remember what chapter it was, this hit me here not long ago when I was reading it. This is the pinnacle of discipleship. He said, I count not my life dear to me that I might finish my course. And I read that, and I had to sit back and think about that. I count not my life dear to me. That's the pinnacle of discipleship. He did not count his own life dear to himself. He said that to die would be gain. Can I say that? Can I say that right now, to die would be gain? Can I say right now, it's a good day to die? It's a good day to die. He knew that only glory waited for him. As long as he lived, he'd make Christ known. That was his purpose. He was determined to enjoy his Lord. All his comforts, all his happiness came from his communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it came from. That's where his real joy and happiness came from. His communion with Christ. And Paul never regretted this course. To live, for me to live, is Christ. We never read anywhere in the Word of God where Paul even gives a hint of regret. He says, I count it all loss. It's all loss. And I don't believe, and I know so, that no one has ever looked back. No believer whose life has been lived for Christ has ever looked back and regretted it. And regretted it. No. No. For me to live is Christ. That's the place we want to come to. That's the place we want to grow into. That's it. Our aim should always be for the glory of our Lord and not our own. We have been purchased with a price. The price of blood. The price of suffering. The price of torment. We've been purchased with a price. I quoted this scripture to a young man this past week. We are not our own. I'm my own person. No, I'm not. I'm not. I wouldn't want to be. That'd be belonging to an idiot. It would be. We are not. We've been purchased with a price. I don't own myself. I don't want to own myself. You're not the servants of men. You're the servants of Christ. I told him this. I said, the scripture says, we do not live to ourselves, nor do we die to ourselves. We're not our own. The Lord said this, because I live, you shall live also. The reason I have life is Christ. Christ, he's the reason. Our daily goal should be that Christ be magnified by our conduct, our attitude, our witness, whether we are free or bound, whether we are healthy or sick. If I get sick, the Lord let me get sick. The Lord sent me, sent it to me. I don't just accidentally get sick. The Lord is... His hand is so minutely in our lives, in our daily lives, that nothing, nothing, nothing happens without Him. Nothing. It's not what do I want to do, but Lord, what would you have me to do? James said, if you're going to go into a city and do business, don't just say, I'm going to go here or there and I'm going to do business. No, he said, and he's talked to believers. The world's not going to say this, but if the Lord will, if the Lord will, we'll do this or that. Our existence is nothing but vanity apart from Jesus Christ. Is that right? That's right. We only exist for Him. All that we have spiritually, all that we have physically, all that we have materially comes from Him who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That means He owns it all. That's what it means. That means He owns it all. And this attitude belongs to everyone who believes in their heart that God has redeemed them by the blood of Jesus Christ. Every one of them. And then Paul says, for me to live is Christ. But then he says, to die is gain. He lets the Philippians know that while he's in prison, if I die here, it's nothing but gain for me. Don't feel sorry for me. Don't weep for me. It's all pure gain. We all must die. It is appointed unto men once to die. And after this judgment, what it says in Hebrews 9? Unless the Lord comes back right now, we have to die. No one escapes his call. Just go to the graveyard and you'll find graves of all sizes. You'll find the rich and the poor buried in the same graveyard. Same graveyard, young and old. I had a great aunt that buried, she had 14 children and buried 8 of them before she passed away. And most of them were at birth. But not all of them. Not all of them. Well, the believer must die also. But how do you look at it? What is it to you? What is it to me? I know it's coming. I know it's coming. It's gain. It's gain. The word gain here means profit. Death, a profit. Dying, a profit. It's like a business term. Profit. Vantage. It's advantage. You know, the world, does the world see death as an advantage? The world sees death as a loss? A life cut short? Dream shattered? All they see is the end. And you know what for them? It is. It is. But that's not what you see. You who believe, that's not what you see. That's not what I see. We see great advantage. We don't see a life cut short, but we see eternal life. Eternal life. We see life just beginning. Just beginning. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Isn't that what it says? That's what it says. Let me give you some advantages that death brings to the believer. We see the final end of sin. I can't even begin to explain or describe the vileness, the wretchedness, the evilness of sin. And that is what I am by nature. I am sin by nature. That's why Christ was made to be sin. He had to be made what I am, that I might be made what he is. Sin. It's the final end of sin. In this flesh, sin is the source of nothing but humiliation and sorrow. You know that every trouble I have in this flesh is rooted in sin. It's rooted in sin. Sin is always warring in our members. Paul said, when I would do good, evil's present with me. That which I would not do, I do. That which I would do, I don't do. Sin has made a mess of us. Sin has marred everything about me. It's marred my mind. You realize how brilliant you and I are going to be one day? Our mind is going to be, we're going to have the mind of Christ. Perfect. Brilliant. But sin has marred my mind, my body, my desire, everything about me. It's marred everything. Everything. There's nothing about me sin hasn't destroyed or touched. It wars in our members. It brings us into captivity, Paul said, to the law of sin and death. But I tell you what, the moment I shut my eyes in death, sin is gone. It cannot follow me beyond the grave. It can't go there. It can't go through that door. Christ said, I'm the door. It can't go through that door. I'm going to go through it. And then secondly, we are fully delivered from doubts of our standing before God. Is any of you this? Sure, am I his? Surely, sometimes I think, how in the world could I call myself a Christian? How in the world could I call myself a believer? John Newton said, 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it gives me anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? If you have these doubts, you will have them no more. Because doubt will give way to reality when you stand in his presence. And then we are delivered again. We are delivered from temptation. What does the Lord tell us in the disciples' prayer? Deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from temptation. We never know when it's coming. Our greatest temptation may be right out there waiting on us. Yet to be faced. Yet to be dealt with. Peter said, Lord, I won't deny you. No, no, I won't deny you. He said, oh, yeah. Before that rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me three times. What a temptation. Peter, Satan hath desired thee to sift thee as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. But he's desiring to take you and just sift, to show what you're made of. Nothing. Just like Job, just let me have him. I'll get him to curse you to your face. Let me have Peter. Let me have Peter. You see what happened, don't you? He denied the Lord three times. Denied him. We never know when it's coming or how severe it'll be. But in glory, there'll be no more temptation. Be no more temptation. No more of that. No more sin, not tempted by sin, not tempted by self, not tempted by Satan, not tempted by the world. Won't even know what that is anymore. And then fourthly, we'll be delivered from all enemies. You have no idea. You and I have no idea how many enemies there are. You say, well, I know somebody doesn't like me. I know a whole lot of people don't like you. There's a whole host of invisible spirits that absolutely hate you, that you don't even see. And we'll be delivered from all that. A world that hates us, a devil that hates us, and all those demons that hates us. And then we'll be delivered from suffering. Suffering. Health will not fail again. Won't fail again. Our minds will be brilliant, as I said. Aging process stops. You know what you're looking at here, the aging process. You're seeing the process of sin. You're seeing the effects. You're seeing the effects of sin. I have a picture of me and Vicki at her prom. Show you the effects of sin on me. I'm not going to show it to you, but I have that picture on my phone. And I was telling the guy the other day I went to school with. I said, you want to see lapse photography? It's speed lapse photography? Because after I hit the button, there's a picture of me and her sitting at the Tamarack just a few months ago. And we're talking 41 years ago, 42 years ago. So I showed it to him, and then I said, now watch. And I hit that button, and a picture of me and her came up. And he said with me, he goes, whoa. He said, you really aged, haven't you? That's the effects of sin. That'll be over. That new body, It won't have all this. It won't have it all. Our health won't fail us again. Our minds will be brilliant. The aging process will stop. And all this will be over. And then we'll be delivered from all labor. All labor. You got to go to work tomorrow, don't you? Got to get up and go to work. You know, sin puts the sweat in work. That's what puts the sweat in work. Because God, when He created Adam, He said, dress the garden and keep it. Everything was perfect. Then after He fell, He said, by the sweat of your brow, you're going to eat your bread. You dread going to work tomorrow? You say, well, that job, I'm not happy with it, but. Well, if you took sin out of it, you'd be happy with it. You'd be happy with it. Just take sin out of it. And then we'll be delivered from death. We'll never die again. Oh, death, where's thy sting? Well, these are advantages. Look at the advantage of this. Death, where's your sting? Grace, where's your victory? It's gone. It's gone. And we will be delivered into the presence of God through the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, and we will rejoice in His presence, and we'll stand there with everyone that's our friend. Everyone that's a friend. Nobody will think you're weird. You won't have cliques. You won't have cliques. You know, like you did in high school and stuff, you know, you have these cliques. You don't have that. You don't have different levels of society, and some are looked down on, and some are up on top and some are in the bottom. You won't have that. You have all be one. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be amazing? Everybody's one. Same mind, same aim, same goals. What an advantage. Now we can see why Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. If Christ has done all this for me, we just sang that last song. If He's done all this for me, then how else could I live? How else? How could I live for myself if Christ has done all this for me? Our aim should be for the glory of Christ, to be sold out to Him, lock, stock, and barrel. And no one who has spent their time, their money, their life over the gospel of Christ has ever regretted it. No one's ever regretted it. I think what you regret is that you didn't do more of it. That you didn't do more of it. We never look back and feel that we missed something. I tell you what, if you miss Christ, you missed everything. You've missed it all. If I have Christ, I have it all. All things are yours in Christ. I have it all. You're looking at one of the richest people ever on this earth. And I'm looking at some of the richest people on this earth. You are. All things are yours. It's just our Father's wisdom as to how He dispenses it out right now. Apparently, I couldn't handle any more than what I got. Oh, to be able to trust God to just bring us home and give us what we need on the way there. Let this be our passion and goal. If for me to live is Christ, then to die will be gain. But if for me to live is not Christ, to die will not be gain. It'll be a total loss. Just like business, a total wipeout, total loss. Okay.